जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसदे गौर भक्त वृंद कृष्ण जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसदे गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसदे गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभु पदा चिर प्रभु पदा प्रभु पा प्रभु पा प्रभु पा प्रभु पा
जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप धाम की जय Gang Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to assemble the devotees, all glories to assemble the devotees, all glories to assemble the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrindagi Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopira Shama Pundarad Kudde Kidi Gopardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadabdhan Ki Jai Ganga Jamana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindagi Jai Samavata Bhakta Vrindagi Jai Gopremanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtate Deshatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 39 Verse 29. Yes, Anuraga Lalita Smita Vagu Mantra. Avaloka Parirambana Rasa Gostam. Nitasma Nakshanam Eva Kshanada Vinatam. Gopyakatam Navatiyaktarema Tamodorantam. Yasya, whose anuraga, with loving affection, lalita, charming, smita, where there were smiles, avalgu, attractive, mantra, intimate discussions, lila, playful, avaloka, glances, parirambana, embraces, rasa, of the rasa dance, goshtam, to the assembly, nita sma, who were brought, na, for us, kshanam, a moment, eva, like, kshanada, the nights, vina, without, tam, him, gopya, O gopis, katam, how, nu, indeed, atitarema, will we cross over, tama, the darkness, durantam, insurmountable. Translation, when he brought us to the assembly of the rasa dance, where we enjoyed his affectionate and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances and his embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. O gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? Purport, for the gopis, a long time in Krishna's association passed like a moment, and a single moment in his absence seemed like a very long time. How can we exist without Ananta's friend Krishna, who in the evening would return to Vraja in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves. As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances. Sukadeva Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Vraja, who were so attracted to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodara, O Madhava. Purport, for a long time the gopis had carefully hidden their conjugal love for Krishna, but now that Krishna was leaving, the gopis were so distressed that they could no longer hide their feelings. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Purport, according to some Vaishnava authorities, Akura offended the gopis by not consoling them when he took Krishna to Mathura. And because of this offense, Akura was later forced to leave Dwarka and be separated from Krishna during the episode of the Shamantaka jewel. At that time, Akura had to take up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. Apparently, Mother Yasoda and other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, for they sincerely believed Krishna would be coming back within a few days. So we have here the conclusion of the gopis' expression of their separation. So this verse here talks about the wonderful association with Krishna during the Rasa Lila, and a whole list of the characteristics of Krishna which are so attractive to them. Of course, these are attractive for all persons. For instance, his smile and his conversations and his glances. But in Madhurya Rasa, and particularly in the Rasa Lila, there's all of these are
looks like, tinged with Madhurya Rasa, so the conversations are concerning their love affairs, and that attraction is very, and the smiles and the glances are all, let's say, saturated with Madhurya Rasa. And then, of course, Krishna embraced them all. So this is these are some of the activities that take place within Madhurya Rasa. We have what we call anubhavas, actions that are performed in the different rasas. So these are the typical activities in Madhurya Rasa, the rasa dance itself, and then the glances, the embracing, etc. In the other, we find, of course, in other rasas, there is also typical activities. But here the glances, etc., are imbued with this feelings of conjugal love. So these are the things they remember when they think of the separation that is going to happen from Krishna. So, of course, a moment's separation feels like, you know, thousands of years or millions of years. And the opposite also happens. In association, that association passes like a moment, even if it's a long time. So it's described in the first night of the Ras Lila. Of course, technically it was only a night time after the sun set until before the sun rose, so maybe they had some 6 hours or 5 hours or 4 hours or whatever within which they performed all those activities, and then the rasa dance itself. So it was a few hours. But then it's explained that actually they extended the night for a night of Brahma so that it would go on for millions and millions of years because of the joy that they had. Krishna could not separate himself from the gopis, and the gopis could not separate themselves from Krishna. So they continued to dance and dance and dance and dance. And this lasted for a night of Brahma, which is a very long time. Yet, but this fit within the few hours. So even if they have long experiences of joy, somehow or other it is always too short. And they feel that they haven't had sufficient meeting with Krishna. So we have both of these tendencies there in the gopis. The separation of a moment feels like a long time, and a long meeting feels like a few moments. And it's all due to the intensity of love for Krishna. So this is very typical of the gopis' love for Krishna. Krishna has not even departed yet, but they're speaking in this manner, and that it describes how in the morning then Akura got ready to, you know, put Krishna on the chariot, etc. So all of this they're saying before the actual separation from Krishna, but due to their worry at night time they're speaking in this way. And then what do they do? There's nothing for them left to do. So what do? They call out the names of Krishna. Govinda, Damodara, Madhava. So this is Nam Sankirtan. They're calling out Krishna's names. So at the height of their feelings of separation, they resort to Kirtan. And we saw this was so also in the Ras Lila. When they were feeling separation from Krishna and they couldn't find him, they went to the bank of the Jamuna and they did kirtan, Krishna calling out his names again. So therefore the process of kirtan is part of the highest rasa, and in separation itself, which was the most intense form of Madhurya rasa, where we find that kirtan manifests itself automatically in the gopis. So it is intrinsic. The kirtan is intrinsic to rasa, and particularly Madhurya rasa and Vipralamba. So though it is, we can say, open for everyone to perform kirtan or Krishna's names, that does not mean that kirtan is an elementary process that you give up later on. Rather, it is a most exalted process. Since we see that even the gopis doing this at the in the highest feelings of ecstasy. Yet, it is also available for people at the very beginning. So this is a very remarkable thing. It looks like a contradiction. So some things are not given in the beginning. For instance, and some things are hidden. So aspects of the Bhagavatam are hidden from normal people and not given, if people are not qualified for them. And even the process of bhakti is hidden to some degree. And therefore we have abundant scriptures glorifying karma yoga and going to Svargaloka and following dharma. In fact, most of the scriptures are like that. And for this reason, people in general in India will therefore be attracted to following dharma rather than other things. They worship everybody, worship devatas, worship Krishna, worship Vishnu, worship everyone, because this is what's commonly mentioned in Puranas, Mahabharata, everywhere. But of course, we know from Bhagavad Gita, the ultimate, the real truth is surrender to Krishna. But that's a little bit exalted, so not for everybody. So we have so many scriptures on karma and everything. Less on jnana and yoga, but still, there's more on jnana and yoga than on bhakti even, we'll find. The Upanishads are full of jnana and less on bhakti. So the bhakti scriptures are less. So in that sense, they're more secret. Why? Because less people are qualified for it. So therefore, the less scriptures are there. But those who are qualified, then they will seek out those particular scriptures. So in that sense, bhakti scriptures are rare also. And therefore, the process of bhakti is also rare. But here we find a little contradiction within bhakti. Namkirtan is the highest process here, the gopis. But it's also the general process for everybody in Kali Yuga. Though it should be the rarest thing. You know, we shouldn't give nam to everybody. Just the most advanced devotees, the Madhurya Rasa getting them. But here, it's given to everybody. This, of course, is the nature of the name and also the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he his particular mission is Nam Sankirtan in Kali Yuga. To deliver all the people and also to give them the highest rasa. So the name is quite significant because though it is most exalted, it also is available to everybody. So that's the special quality of the name of the Supreme Lord, Krishna's name particularly. So it is, but though it is available to everybody, there we should not think that therefore it is a very common thing and not so special. Because we see here that the gopis in their highest moments of separation are uttering the name of Krishna. So this has been pointed out by the our acharyas, that the Nam Sankirtan is performed on the highest levels of devotion. By the highest devotees. So therefore, it's the most exalted process. So though it is the most exalted, it's also available to everyone. So this is also its remarkable nature. Most other things are the opposite, not available to everyone. So therefore, diksha mantras are not available to everybody. Not everybody can chant them. But everyone can chant the name. Does that mean that the diksha mantras are more powerful than the name? No, because they're not chanting diksha mantras here, the gopis. They're chanting Krishna's name. Very interesting. We also see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, though Gopakumar and the Brahmana also, they began by chanting mantra. And Guru gives the mantra, or I think it was Durga Devi gave the mantra to the Brahmana or whatever, and they chant the Gopal mantra. Tell syllable mantra, I think it is, and they chant like this. But later on we find that Gopakumar is doing kirtan and he's chanting the name of the Lord. And then when he describes the people of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis, they're doing kirtan. And this is part of the highest process, that is doing kirtan of Krishna's name. And not the mantras. So we don't see the people chanting mantras in Goloka, they're chanting Krishna's name. Huh? So, therefore, we shouldn't think that the mantra diksha, those mantras are higher than Hare Krishna mantra. No, it's the opposite. Krishna's name is the highest of all. So, therefore, this is the evidence here, where the gopis simply resort to Krishna's name. So the names are all powerful, non-different from the Lord. Of course, we can say scripture in general is non-different from the Lord, and the form is non-different from the Lord, and the activities and qualities of the Lord, the flute is non-different from the Lord, everything is non-different from the Lord, that's true. But the name is particularly non-different. And therefore, it is stated like the Abhinatan Nama Namano, that the Lord and the designation of His name are non-different. So, whatever is in Krishna is in the name. Whatever rasa is in Krishna is in the name. So, therefore, one can access all rasa within the name of the Lord. Very, very interesting. So, Nam Kirtan means to simply utter the names of the Lord. Like, so, here we have Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, which technically is a Sambodhana case. There's no endings. No particular endings on it. There's no grammatical structure. It's just simply the root of the verb there, the noun there, the Govinda. Calling out to Govinda, like we say Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's just Krishna. Whereas in a mantra, it is Krishnaya Namaha, or Govindaya Namaha, Damodaraya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha. Then it becomes mantra, in fourth case, dative case. So this is it's the simplest one. You don't have to know grammar. You just call out the name of the Lord, finished. You don't have to know the structure of the language or the verb forms or anything or the how to put the endings on the nouns, etc. at all. So even the most ignorant people can simply utter the name of the Lord. And therefore all-powerful. So, of course, the name of the Lord is all-powerful, and we see that even the Lord Narayan's name chanted once was enough to extinguish all of Ajamil's karmas, past, present, future, accidentally chanting it. So all the names of the Lord, all the forms of the Lord, all the names of all the forms of the Lord, and Vishnu and Rama, etc., are very, very powerful. But we know that of all the forms of the Lord, then Krishna is very special. And he's called Swayam Bhagavan. He manifests the most powers, the most mercy, the most sweetness, the most Shakti, everything. So therefore, the names of Krishna are very, very special. So that is why it says in Vishnu Sahasranam that the name of Rama, one name of Rama is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. Why? Because Rama manifests more attractive qualities in the Vishnu form with all those pastimes, etc. But then it says, three names of Rama equal one name of Krishna. So why? Because Krishna manifests even more attractive qualities and pastimes than Ramchandra. So therefore the names of Krishna are the most wonderful and powerful and attractive and sweet, etc. But of all the names of Krishna, the name of Krishna is considered to be the essential name. This is the root name of Krishna, though we call him so many other things. So his first name is Krishna. And its very meaning also indicates the highest attraction. So one meaning of Krishna, of course, is from the root Krish, which means to attract. So Krishna is the most attractive form in all ways, in terms of powers and beauty and sweetness, etc. Another analysis is that Krishna means source of all existence, everything that exists, and Na means source of all bliss. So therefore, he's the highest in terms of powers and the highest in forms of sweetness. That's true. Very, very true. So either way we take it, the name of Krishna is, it indicates the highest aspect of the Lord. So that name is considered to be the primary name of Krishna, and therefore the most chanted of all. So in any case, the names are all powerful, so the names of Krishna are wonderful, and the name of Krishna itself will evoke the form of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, and pastimes of Krishna. Some of the names, of course, are very particular. So, for instance, Damodar primarily concerns the pastime of Damodar being tied up, so therefore it evokes a particular pastime. Or Govinda will evoke the Govardhan Leela and how Krishna got named after that by Indra and Surabhi, whatever like that. So we have particular pastimes associated with particular names. Huh? Name of Krishna associated with all the pastimes. Huh? So very, very special name as well. Huh? So it's a simple process, but it's also the most exalted process. And therefore, nothing can be, no words can exaggerate the power of the name of Krishna. Huh? So we have one of the offenses of the holy name to think that the chanting of the name is some exaggeration or whatever, and the praise is found in the scripture only exaggeration, not real. So whatever any other process can give is found in chanting the holy name. And in chanting the name of Krishna, of course, it gives all benedictions and much more than any other form of the Lord. So, ultimate name, the name of Krishna.
We find that in this material world, whenever a person experiences happiness, he wants that happiness to be repeated again and again. But even though he is happy today, tomorrow he'll get unhappiness. So we find in Gopi's case, they were very happy when Krishna was Vrindavan. Now they're just remembering those happy days and recollecting. So this shows in middle world we can never be happy. Sukha, dukkha will be always there.
Yeah. Well, there's a similar experience in the spiritual world. Of course, in the material world, sometimes they justify sorrow as without sorrow you can't have happiness kind of thing, they say. Of course, that's not true. Some people only have sorrow, no happiness. but anyway, in the spiritual world, the sorrow is an aspect of happiness itself. And the sorrow of separation, usually through separation, serves to give more attraction to Krishna, and therefore the bliss in meeting him is even more. So the separation leads to, let's say, increased bliss as a result of that.
Huh? Maharaj, when a mantra is chanted, if there is some irregularity or if there is a mistake, there could be a possible negative impact. Whereas we see in the name of the holy name, even if they don't not able to pronounce properly, the result is the same.
Yeah, now, mantras are particular. Vedic mantras are the most particular. You have to have the svaras correct, everything correct, whatever. You have to be very particular. Pancharatrik mantras are a little more flexible, but still, technically, most of those mantras also require special techniques, such as nyasas, mudras, and so many other things to perform dhyana before we actually chant the mantra, purification. However, Hari Bhaktivedanta also says with Krishna mantra, you don't need all these things. So that's Krishna mantras are a little special. But still, traditionally speaking, the mantras also required some sort of conditions attached to them in chanting, etc. And purity also, qualification, and therefore they're only available through diksha. So that means the guru decides who is qualified, who is not qualified. This person is going to be serious and it'll have effect. This person is not going to be serious. We don't give it to him. The name is much different. It does not require qualification, does not require purity, and it still has effect. It doesn't give the highest effect in all cases, but nevertheless, it gives some effect. So, Ajamil didn't get the highest effect because he didn't chant with devotion. He didn't chant with purity. But he got at least removal of his karmas. So it does that. So Namabhas can do that. But Namabhas does not give prema. So to get prema, we need Sudanam. To get Sudanam means, of course, we do have to have faith, and then we have to have knowledge of scripture, etc., and proper guidance, and then we can chant properly, and that becomes Sudanam. And then we can get prema.
Maharaj, calling out the names in the Vedic system of the husband or the master is considered to be an offense, whereas that is not the case in the case of bhakti.
Well, we find that they, in some of the verses, you'll see that they don't mention Krishna's name directly. It's a little bit indirect in how they address him, for the same reason, that they shouldn't say his name directly. But we see here that they could not, and of course, they're trying to hide their love anyway in Madhurya Rasa, but then finally they they come out with these statements, Govinda Damodar Madhava, loudly. Because of the intensity of their love, they could not contain themselves, and therefore they call out his name directly. No fault in that as such, because of their great devotion. So as I said previously, they overcame all the obstacles, even including their shyness and hesitancy before the elders, simply because of the strength of their prema. So this, from that, they lost all other considerations.
Or maybe they, when Akrura was taking Krishna in the chariot, when the gopis called Govinda Madhava, each of the name has a pastime behind it. So Krishna will be hearing the pastime, and maybe they thought he'll come back again.
Yeah. Well, of course, by chanting the names of Krishna, they also remember the pastimes, and therefore this gives them some sort of consolation, and this is like a type of remembrance or smaranam of the Lord. So that perhaps helps to pacify them to some degree as well.
And the Prabhupada just mentioned that Mother Yashoda and other residents of Vrindavan, they were not crying like gopis. They are sincerely believing that Krishna will come back. But the gopis didn't believe that Krishna will come back. They thought Mathura girls are better, he may get caught there. Why is there two types of faith?
Well, that's the difference between different types of love, we can see. As I said, in Madhurya Rasa, it's more intense. And also is that feeling of competition among others. So we had expressed here that they're thinking maybe he goes to Mathura, then he's attracted to the women there, and they're more sophisticated, and they're we are country girls and farm girls, or whatever. So somehow he may forget about us completely. So that's their worry. Mother Yasoda doesn't think like that. But nevertheless, there are other texts. Where is that? Where it describes? Well, and I think in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita there, when Krishna goes, then Mother Yasoda is telling Nanda that you have to bring him back. And she doesn't want to let him go. And then finally, Nanda Maharaj said, you know, I will bring him back, you know. And if I don't bring him back, I'll give him my life or whatever like that. And when he comes back without Krishna, then she's really devastated at that point. Because then Nanda Maharaj also is devastated because he didn't keep his promise, you know. So she does feel great separation. In one sense, yes, in one sense, no, because Akura told them, you know, all this, but still, they believe that Krishna is their son.
That's still, she had faith that Krishna will come back, because gopis thought they would not come. Yashoda would have thought that, oh, after meeting Devaki, he may not come and see me back.
Well, even Nanda Maharaj felt like that. That's why he came back to Vrindavan, because Krishna himself said, I am your son. And therefore, Nanda Maharaj felt, yes, he's our son, and he also says that, so therefore he'll come back to us.
This shows that when you're very attached to a particular thing, it's very difficult to give up that. So attachment makes us to get it back, even in this material world. When we get something and when we lose it, and we keep thinking about it. So we see the similar thing when they have Krishna with them, and when they lose, they're thinking.
Yeah. So that's, of course, the only difference is that here the object is Krishna. So he is a worthy object of attachment. Whereas the attachments in the material world are not very worthy because they're made out of matter and they're temporary and they're destructible. Whereas Krishna has got eternal, blissful, spiritual body. So it is with all perfection. So therefore it is the actual object of attraction for all the jivas.
Varanasi. And when anybody dies in Vrindavan, no rebirth. And even in Kashi, anybody dies, no rebirth. What is the difference?
Well, Kashi, of course, is famous for Shiva. And when they talk about no birth, they mean liberation, in the sense of mukti, impersonal liberation. Whereas for Krishna, of course, people who are thinking of Krishna and Vrindavan, then that obviously is not liberation in the normal sense, but spiritual world, Goloka.
Maharaj, do they chant Hare Krishna in Vrindavan?
Yeah.
In the spiritual world?
Yeah.
In the spiritual.
Sure, why not? They chant all names of Krishna there.
Maharaj, the intensity of mother's love to the child is normally in the material world more intense than the love for the lover's love, then how in spiritual world the Madhurya Rasa is more than the Vatsalya Rasa?
Well, in the material world, for some people, the mother's love is stronger, but then we see that in Bharat Muni's version, Madhurya Rasa is stronger. And Vatsalya Rasa is not even accepted as a rasa. It's not included as a rasa. Later on they added it, but actually Madhurya Rasa and Shanta Rasa are the two main primary rasas. As far as Bharat Muni, that's material rasa. So, and we'll see that in depictions, in dramas, generally it's love affairs. It's not mother-child dramas, no? In most cases, it's love affairs. This is the most popular form of attraction for most people, which indicates that it's probably stronger ultimately than the mother's love for the child. But of course, we know that Yasoda's love, particularly in some of the elders, like Yasoda, very, very strong love for Krishna. So that's why the Vatsalya is put just below the Madhurya Rasa in its intensity. No, it's Madhurya with a feeling that Krishna is also Supreme Lord. So sometimes Madhurya and Vatsalya cannot mix. They're opposites. Dasya can mix. So one can have a servant attitude and also be like the wife, whatever, like that. Well, that, in that sense, but it's a different type. It's based on the affection of Madhurya Rasa, not... So there's a dasya also as service is there. So it's a mixture of dasya with, it can be a mixture of dasya with Madhurya.
Maharaj, see, there is a verse, I think Srimad Bhagavatam said that, Bhavagrahi Janardhanam, means Krishna is, you know, take the mood of the devotees. Okay, Krishna take the mood of the devotees. He understand the mood of the devotees, Bhavagrahi Janardhanam. But when he explained the mantra, like normally it takes the fourth case, suppose if someone, by putting the fourth case, he might chant a different way, like normally we say the Vishnu, it should be supposed to be Vishnava Yanama, but if he chant Vishnuva Yanama, you know, it happened sometime, you know, he doesn't know the, it's supposed
not
to be fourth
correct.
Case, yeah. But here the Lord is knows the heart of the devotees, you know, he's Bhavagrahi.
Yeah.
So, is there anything wrong then? But because he knows the mood of the devotees, correct? Even he might not follow the grammar.
Yeah. Well, if it's Vedic mantra, then that's very particular. And even the svaras have to be correct.
Then why this Bhavagrahi Janardhana is saying again? But it has to be clear.
So that's Vedic mantra. And when we come to Diksha mantras, of course, in general, they should be correctly done. But if there's some fault, again, not such a problem because of the devotion, a devotional aspect. But still, there's some particularity there. And that's why the mantras are, you know, reserved for qualified persons, etc. Whereas the name itself is more flexible, and therefore, even pronounced correctly or incorrectly, doesn't really matter, whatever like that.
Sometimes we see even, you know, some people may not know the mantra properly, but still they have a devotion and they worship the Lord.
Mantra?
I'm saying maybe Hare Krishna mantra also they might use.
That's Naam, so it doesn't matter.
Still, you know, there is no problem to worship the Lord with the Naam also.
Yeah.
But still, some people, you know, okay, they may heard that, okay, I have to chant some mantra, okay, instead of, okay. You know, instead of fourth case, they are putting this first case also, they might, no, sorry, otherwise it has to put our Sambandhana or first case, they might put Om Krishna Nama, you know, because of bhava, mood of the devotees. So is there wrong then, because Lord take the mood of the devotees?
Well, it becomes more like Nam then. You'll accept the Nam part of it. you know, it's like an imperfect expression grammatically, but still the Lord accepts the sentiment, like he accepts the offerings, even if they're done with some imperfection or whatever. If the devotion is there, he accepts.
Maharaj, we see in the case of Akrura, he was forced to work under Kamsa, who is a demon, And until he came to Vrindavan, he has been under a demon. But he knew that Krishna knows my heart, and then he was so happily going to see Krishna in Vrindavan. But a living entity should not take this as an example, though my circumstances are so demonic, but Krishna knows my intention and continues a demonic life. Mm-hmm. A living entity should not take this as an example that even my intentions are, no, I need to please Krishna, but I am working in a demonic situation. That should not be taken as an excuse, and then, it should not be imitated.
Well, as much as possible, like the regular scriptures, the Dharma scriptures say that your occupation should be pure, etc. So, therefore, one should avoid sinful acts or things related to sinful acts as much as possible in terms of profession and whatever like that. So that is there. But even if by some circumstance we cannot avoid it, we can the association still, we avoid the sinful acts. So we avoid as much as possible. In some cases we cannot avoid, but at least we avoid being contaminated by that.
Like Mukunda, which is Aishwarya name, how to understand that?
Well, it also has different meanings. It can mean the Krishna whose smile is like the jasmine flower, jasmine bud. It's white teeth, like jasmine buds.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Here in this verse, when Akrura has taken Krishna without taking permission from gopis, later he got problem and he went and hiding. These are all problems. Similarly, here also in this material world, if he will do some service without taking permission from the spiritual master, will be there any problem?
Well, service is always, it doesn't have to. In other words, you cannot take permission for every service you're going to do for the spiritual master. Otherwise, you have to sit there all day.
For some services also.
Yeah. So, but we have general services like chanting and doing so many things. Obviously, we don't need permission for that. We already have the instruction that we should do these things. So why we need permission ever after that? So the instruction of the Guru is to engage in all types of devotional service. So therefore we do that. And we don't need permission for that. So any type of service for the Lord is good.
Any types of...
Because in deity worship we're following Pancharatra rules, scripture. Of course we could do Hare Krishna worship also, in which case you don't need initiation, you just chant Hare Krishna and you do the worship however you can, but then it wouldn't be Pancharatric standard. And of course Hare Krishna means that actually we're worshipping the Lord through the name, we don't need the deity form at all. So then your deity is not necessary there. You just worship the Lord through the name.
Maharaj, is there any difference between the deity worship in the temple and deity worship at home?
It's stricter in the temple. That's the basic thing. The basic principles are the same, but it's more regulated and strict in the temple. That's all.
But in Vrindavan, we see so many places, the temples are like house, and they say this is the place where this particular Rupa Goswami stayed and he worshipped these deities. So they made the house as a temple. So that means how can it be different?
How can what be different?
Because he made a deity worship at home.
Who?
The Rupa Goswami, the Damodar temple, all that. It's all in the form of a house in Vrindavan.
Those were temples. They made temples.
Yeah, because later on it became temples, Maharaj. But okay. Before they say that this is the deities which he worshipped, means it should be his personal deities, no, Maharaj.
So he had personal deities and then he had pujaris. He engaged pujaris to worship the deities and they built temples, etc. So when they established the temples, then they followed certain standards. It's merely a matter of what standard you want to follow. Eh? So you could, if it's a house, it doesn't matter. You can follow the highest Pancharatra standards. There's no problem for that. But generally we find that the householders are limited in what they can do, so they have simplified the process, but they have to follow basic standards.
One comes to the understanding that the holy name is all in all, nothing else is required. But in the initial stage, he doesn't know that these things are not required. To come to that knowledge, it takes time. But he has been worshipping deity. Then what happens at that stage? Still he has got deities to do. If someone has deities, he comes to the knowledge that nothing else is required at a later stage.
Yeah.
But he has been practicing. So when he comes to that stage, he gives up the deity worship?
No, not necessarily. So we see the Goswami said deities also. Yeah? So it's a type of bhakti also. But the principal one is Nam Sankirtan. The others are there to help. And so on.
Is there an example like, you see, the exalted devotees, you know, although not following the Pancharatika this system, but still worshiping the deities, like in the, you see, in Babaji.
Yeah, or we find devotees in the Raga, Raghunuga platform. They may not be strictly following the same type of things, or whatever, Hridaya Chaitanya. They do the worship according to Bhava, so they may not follow the same strict program. It's not that they're breaking any rules, but they're not following the rigid standards as according to their Bhava.
We talk so much about following the footsteps. For example, the discussion was we are having about the deity worship done by the Goswamis and the Acharyas. We try to say that they have been doing at home and we also try to do at home. And how far we can differentiate from imitating and following in the footsteps? What is the difference and how do we differentiate that? How do
we
understand?
We follow their instructions. We don't follow what they do, we follow their instructions.
We don't imitate it.
Tantra Sri Sumantaki.
Jai.
Sri Sumantaki.
Jai.